Good evening. So glad that you could all join us, whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us online. We're so glad that you have decided to worship this evening with us. We're going to sing a few songs before our prayer tonight. We're going to sing some songs of praise and adoration. We'll start with Lord, we come before thee now. Then we'll sing unto thee, O Lord. Let's all sing.
Lord, we come before thee now.
Unto thee, O Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Let us pray. Our gracious and all-wise Father, we come thanking you for giving this wonderful day to us. We come giving you praise for all that you've done and all that you will do, but we give you most thankful for, mostly for this time. We want to thank you for sending your son Jesus to die upon that cross of Calvary, the great sacrifice for all mankind. We pray that you'll help us, dear Father, each day to remember that sacrifice. Help us, dear Father, as we go about our everyday life, whether it be work, play, school, whatever that would be, that help us to exemplify his life, dear Lord. Help us to be an example to those we come in contact with. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us, dear Father, to be lead us to be able to show somebody who does not know you, does not know the love that you'd had by giving him, that we may be able to be that contact for them. Father, we just pray that you'll be with this congregation, this family. There's so many people, dear Father, at this time who is hurting, has health issues. We have those who have just recently, loved ones are passing. We pray, dear Father, that a special prayer for those this evening, dear Father. Lord, we just give you thanks for truly being our Father and loving us. And in Christ's holy name, amen.
As we continue to praise God in song, we'll sing, "I Stand in Awe of You," followed by "Hosanna," before Harrison brings us the lesson and report this evening. If you would, let's stand as we sing these two songs before the lesson.
You are beautiful beyond description.
Bible story time is being held in the library tonight, so just to make you aware of that. Our scripture reading tonight will come from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and this is from the English Standard Version. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Good evening. Oops, too far. My name is Harrison, if you don't know me yet. My wife is Sherilyn. You probably know her better than you know me. You may know me as the guy awkwardly standing and trying to hide behind her as she talks to you. So, you can imagine how hard it is for me to be up here. But I will do my best to share with you some good news. As Tim mentioned this morning, I'm a software developer. I work for World Bible School, and actually, slight miscommunication, I also work for World English Institute, and I've been given permission to talk about both of those this evening. So if you came here and you were prepared to hear about a tool and some ways that you can reach the lost and be more active in evangelism, I have some good news to share with you. There are two that I'm going to share with you for the price of one. You only have to pay admission once. So that'll be good. And last week, Tim was talking about lead me to some soul today. And I felt like that was a good message and something that we need to keep in mind and something that I tried to keep in mind as I was preparing to talk to you today, because we can say that, we can sing that, and we can not mean it sometimes. And for me personally, that's something I really struggle with is, yeah, there's this part of me that wants to reach out to people, and there's this part of me that wants to evangelize and give people that good news of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. But then there's another part of me that's like, well, I'm scared of people, okay? I don't want to do that. I don't want to reach out. It's very difficult for me. But we have what I'm going to talk to you about this evening. We have some tools that can make that almost easy. I'm not going to say it's easy. It can be difficult still. But if you're looking for a soul to reach out to, if you don't, let me tell you, I work from home. I don't have, and obviously my coworkers are Christians. I don't see a lot of people. My two major outings of the week are Wednesday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. That's when I get my people time in. Maybe I go to the grocery store every once in a while. I don't see a lot of people, and I'm not in a lot of contact. I don't have friends who aren't Christians. And so the concept of friendship evangelism and forming those relationships with people in order to evangelize it's very difficult for me. And I don't have a lot of avenues to do that. And that might be, especially with COVID and other things going on, that might be the case for you as well. But with what we're going to talk about this evening, there are people lining up, literally lining up to hear the gospel. And that can be a very powerful way to reach out to people. But first, I want to back up just a little bit and talk about Roman roads. And you might think, okay, Harrison, what do Roman roads have to do with World Bible School? What do Roman roads have to do with World English Institute? Aren't those like websites or lessons or something that you talk to people about? I want to talk about Roman roads because they were really amazing technology for their time. And some of them, as you can see, are still visible today, thousands of years later. I don't know if our roads are still going to be around that long with the way that the rate that they decay at. But they built them so straight. They cut through hills if necessary. They surveyed and did all of these amazing things that allowed people to travel a lot faster than might have been the case in the past. It allowed people to travel a lot safer than might have been possible in the past. And they did all of this. They paved them with rocks and metal even, and cut ditches and made paths along the sides and all of these things to make the way straight, to make the way fast and easy to travel. And of course, they were making that for their military primarily, so that they could get around fast. Big empire, you gotta get your military to wherever is being attacked or whatever needs to be done. But Christians use those roads to great effect. Christians use those roads to travel from city to city and to preach the gospel and to get around from place to place. And there were other things going on, of course, but I wanted to focus on, without Christians using those roads, they would have just been roads. I mean, still cool technology. Like, if you want to read about that, that's some amazing history, the ways that they did some things, how they accomplished that. That's really cool. It's really amazing. It's interesting. But at the end of the day, if it weren't for the Christians using the roads, they would have just been roads. They wouldn't have been anything sacred, almost. It's not something that you would mention in a sermon, certainly. And I'm excited about technology. You might guess that, being a software developer, I like technology. A few weeks ago, I could not sleep. I was just lying in bed, feverishly almost, thinking through all of the possibilities of what I want to build and what I want to make for World English Institute and for World Bible School to help people connect with the gospel even better. And I'm that type of person that excites me. Roman roads get me really excited. I really like that. And websites and making all of these things, I really like that and enjoy that. But I have to recognize at the end of the day, I can make the most awesome website that ever existed. I can make the best, easiest way to reach out to the lost. But without fellow Christians, without myself using that technology to actually reach those people, to teach those people the gospel, at the end of the day, does it really matter what is made or what technology exists? We need each other, and we need everybody, all of the Christians, to be using it. So that's something I want us to keep in mind as we continue in the lesson and talking about the tools that are available, that it's not somebody else's job. It's all of our jobs to, you don't have to use these tools. I'm not trying to be one of those people like, you have to use my program or it's not good. There are an infinite number of ways to evangelize, but we have to do something is what I want to emphasize. So here are the two that I'm working for, World Bible School and World English Institute. You can go to those websites. I could talk for a long time about, there's just so much, so many possibilities, so many tools and different ways of using them. We could talk for a long time about what each possibility is. But if you want more information, like how to sign up to be a teacher or study helper, you can go to those websites and that'll give you that information. I know I'm shy, but you are welcome, and I would be happy for you to ask me any questions. If you need help signing up, if you're already signed up and you just need some help getting going, or whatever you need, any questions at all about it, I'm happy to help. So there are similarities and differences between both of these approaches, so I wanted to briefly describe, while we're still talking about both of them together, I wanted to describe kind of what the similarities and differences are. So, similarities, both of them, you're going to be teaching people the gospel. Both of them have structured lessons that people sign up to, and you don't have to really do the teaching too much. They read the lessons, they take some quizzes, you'll give them some feedback on their quizzes, and things like that. But just the lesson content is different. World Bible School is obviously, by the name, you can tell when people are coming to World Bible School, when students are coming to them, they know I'm here to study the Bible. Maybe they're interested and they have questions about the Bible and they just searched for something and the ad came up or something like that. So it's a lot more focused on directly people who are looking for information about the Bible, which is a really good approach, of course. World English Institute, on the other hand, the reason people come to World English Institute as again you might tell by the name, it's because they want to learn English. And you might hear that and think, oh, I'm not an English teacher, I can't teach people English, and that might turn you away from it. And that's okay, but I want to remind you that, losing my train of thought here, bear with me. There are lessons, there are explanations already in those lessons. The people, your skill is that you know English, you're a native speaker. A lot of what you would be doing is when they type in their answers, you just correct it. And it's not like you have to know the grammar, you just know what it's supposed to sound like, and you show them what it's supposed to sound like. That's the skill that you're contributing. And they have all of the grammar lessons and the reading lessons, and you don't really have to do too much as far as the actual English content. But what I really like about that, you might, at first, I was like, isn't that kind of deceptive where, you know, you're offering these English lessons, but you have this ulterior motive that actually I just want to teach you the gospel. But it's not really. And I came to understand that, number one, from the very start, they're reading from the Bible. They know that it's from the Bible. It's not like it starts out as this official English lesson and then switches to the Bible. From the number one, they start out teaching about the rich man and Lazarus. They know what they're getting into with that. And number two, when I'm teaching somebody English from around the world, that's a useful skill. I'm able to provide them, just by virtue of my birth, by virtue of the fact that I'm a native English speaker, I have a skill that I can teach them, and something that's going to be really useful and benefit their lives. And at the same time, they're reading the Bible. I'm not trying to force it down their throats. They're just reading it and using that to learn English, and it's really helping them at the same time. So, very similar, both teaching lessons, both grading quizzes, but different approaches that get different people involved. Let's focus on World Bible School for a little bit. So, World Bible School, if you're familiar with them at all, you probably are familiar with their printed lessons. I think the youth group, Greg, helps with grading those printed lessons, and they do hundreds of thousands of those every year. It's their really big thing that's been going on for a long time, but they have a lot more than that too. Just briefly going through each of these are the highlights of what they do. They publish a study Bible, which I have one of the editions here. They have several. And that can be a really useful way if you just want to give somebody a Bible that has everything they need in it, that has lessons, it has the entirety of their master series, which takes people from all along their spiritual journey, from questions like, what is the Bible? Why should I listen to the Bible? Is the Bible God's word? Does God exist? Questions like that. All the way to, okay, what's the New Testament church? Why do I need to be baptized? And questions like that. And it has all of those lessons already in it, and of course, all of the Bible, which is the main thing that people need. So that can be really useful if all you have, the only contact you have with this person is just to hand them a Bible, or maybe you're not even handing anybody a Bible, you're just leaving it somewhere and hoping that somebody takes it. This is an excellent resource for that, for reaching people that way. Of course, as I talked about the printed lessons, those go all around the world. Hundreds of thousands of people all around the world and here locally are able to take advantage of that. And there are probably people in this congregation who know a lot more about that than I do. So I'd be happy to point that. Or if you have any questions about how to get involved with that, I'm not the expert there, but we certainly have people who can help you get involved with that. The online lessons, that's more what I work on, the aspect of it. Just all you have to do is sign up, and then you're presented with this student board, and there's just a whole list of people waiting to hear the gospel that you can teach and help in that way. The Connect program, that's through the online lessons, but reaching out locally. Central participates in this, where if somebody from Johnson City signs up on World Bible School, we get first dibs on them. We can go, they go straight to our student board, and we can pick up on that and adopt them and help them with their studies, and then that can lead to more in-person contact and getting them more one-on-one, more face-to-face contact in that way. So that can be really useful. And they also have where you're, even for your own personal, you can have your own URL that you could put on a business card. You can rent out a billboard, and if somebody signs up for World Bible School using that URL, then they go straight to you. So if you want to have more of a personal, like, I'm actively reaching out for people and actively, I talked to this person and now I want to study with them through World Bible School online, that can be a really good way to do that too. Methodist, you may or may not have heard of that. It's a social network that they're building, and it a lot of the focus for that is reaching people who are asking questions like, who am I? Who is Jesus? Basic questions like that. They're Googling it. They come to this social network, and then they're able to connect with people who are, number one, asking those questions, and Christians, number two, who are answering those questions. And it can be a powerful tool in that way. And they also have Spoken, which is more of an automated platform. It's not something that you and I get involved with as much. But people are able to sign up for that and record themselves on their phone reading a scripture. And then they can play that back and hear somebody else, somebody from World Bible School reading that scripture, and compare and help them learn English that way and learn how to pronounce things. And that program is more, it helps, once people get through that, they're presented with this opportunity, do you want to study on World Bible School and continue? It's more of a way to increase people getting on World Bible School. Here's the, we have apps, we have the website, of course. That's just basically what it looks like when you're going to sign up. And we're working right now on a study helper app. Right now we have for students, if they want to use an app on their phone, we have that. But we're working on getting something where if you just want to pull out your phone and teach somebody real quick while you're waiting in the doctor's office or something like that, we're working on getting that out, which is really exciting. This is on the website what you'll see. You see the list of students. You get some basic information about them, and you can choose to adopt them, or you can continue down the list until you find somebody that you want to adopt. So it tells you, and I think this is really important, something that might be missed. On World Bible School, as soon as somebody signs up, before they take any lessons, before they even complete the first course, they're put on the student board just instantly as soon as they sign up. So there are going to be people on here who aren't going to continue studying just because maybe they just signed up and they just wanted to see what it was. You know, sometimes we sign up for services and we're not really sure what it's all about, so we just type our email in. You know how it goes. There are people on here too doing the same thing. But the purpose of that is when you adopt them, they get an email. And that might draw somebody back in and say, oh, there's somebody who adopted me to study with them. Maybe I'll check that out again and see if I want to continue. But I also don't want to set up false expectations that everybody you adopt is going to continue studying, because sometimes it takes a little time. But the fact is that the good part is if you keep going, you're going to find those people who do want to continue if you're persistent. And that allows you to build a relationship. Right from the start, you're able to know their name, you're able to know just a little bit about them, and there's a messaging system where you can interact with your students and talk to them and start building that relationship. And of course, that's what really, we can have all the lessons. We could automate all of the lessons, honestly. They're just multiple choice questions, for the most part, and some the more feedback type questions are about baptism and, you know, what are you thinking? But for the most part, we could automate everything. But what we can't automate is those relationships with Christians. That's what really gets people into the study. If you know that you have a relationship with your study helper, you know that you have that relationship, that's what's going to keep you coming back even more than the lesson content. And that's where you can start encouraging people and you start getting to know them and telling them and encouraging them. But what I wanted to point out here is under the intro, it tells you if they've started, it tells you if they've completed that introductory course, and that lets you know, like, if they're 50% of the way through, maybe they're going to be more likely to continue on. Not to discourage you to accept students who have just started. I just feel like that is an extra point of information that you can use as you're searching for people to help study. Continuing on, losing my train of thought again. Focus. What World Bible School is working in a lot of different ways. As we went through, there's a whole list of things that they're doing and different ways that they're having impact with the foreign countries and at home, different languages. There's a lot that they're going to, but that really speaks to their mission, and I guess I should say our mission. And I want to read that real quick. The mission of World Bible School is to share the good news of Jesus with the world's lost. And here's the important part, going back to our part in it as Christians. Share the good news of Jesus with the world's lost by motivating and equipping everyday Christians to use interactive Bible studies effectively. So that's really what we're here for is, yeah, we could build automated tools like Spoken and just have that all be like that and teach people, and people would still be studying the Bible and that would be good. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to equip not just preachers, but all Christians to be able to do that, to fulfill that great commission, to fulfill the work of the church, and providing tools and motivation to be able to do that. And that looks a lot of different ways. Sometimes it looks like printing a study Bible that has material in it that you can use to teach people. Sometimes it looks like making an app that you can use to teach people. But the point is, there's a lot going on that you can find something that you can use to help you in your own evangelism. This is World English Institute's website. So this is what a student sees when they first are going to sign up. Free English lessons taught through the Bible. Sign up. You'll have somebody teaching you, which is, like, there are a lot of nonprofits that will teach you English through automated courses, video courses, what have you. There's not a lot of people who are willing to teach you English for free. So that's a really big draw for that. This is the student board. I don't know how well you can see that, but you can get on the website and pull it up too. But just like World Bible School, you get some basic information about the student. They tell you what religion, their age, and the important difference here that I want to point out is before they ever get on this student board for World English Institute, they've already completed an introductory lesson that's a number of questions that gauge where they are already. We're not going to be able to teach somebody who has never spoken a lick of English in their life. We're teaching people who are non-native. They've already maybe taken some English courses, but they want to improve, and they want a native speaker's help to be able to improve in how they phrase their sentences. So that introductory course, you see what percentage they got. If you're not looking for somebody, maybe you're not as comfortable with actual teaching English, you can stick with people who scored in the 80s or 90s percent and be more comfortable that that person probably has a better grasp on English, and there's not going to be as much that you have to teach them outside of just correcting their sentences. Or maybe you really enjoy speaking with people who don't have that. Then you can find people who scored lower and have the elementary courses that they need to go through and teach them. So I just wanted to point that out, that, and there's, maybe you have a favorite country. I know there are a lot of World English Institute teachers who go on short-term mission trips to a particular country every year. And so they'll find people from that country. And then when they go on and they teach them, they build those relationships. And then when they go on their mission trips to that country, they already have more people to talk to and relationships already built, and they use it that way. So there's a lot there, a lot of information there that you can choose when you're selecting students to teach. This is an example of one of the quizzes. It's the very first one, and it just teaches them some vocabulary, some grammar concepts, and then they have some thought questions. And those thought questions, all of the questions are multiple choice, so you don't even have to grade those. They get explanations if they get it wrong. You don't have to do a lot with that. But then they have thought questions. Like for the rich man and Lazarus, it might ask, why was the older brother angry? And then they type in their response, and maybe it's not the best English, and all you have to do is converse with them about that. Why was the older brother angry? If you feel like there's something that they missed, you can put that in your feedback. You can correct their English, and that helps them. It allows you to teach them, and it can be a really useful way. I just wanted to put that up there so that you can see it's all there. It's already there for you. You don't have to do the actual English teaching part. So the question now is, and I know there's no way I could have talked about everything. And again, I want to reiterate that if you have any questions, if you want to sign up for either one, I'm happy to talk to you about that. But what are you going to do with this information? I know for me, it's really hard. Even using these tools, like where it's online and I don't have to face-to-face talk to anybody and I'm just typing, building that relationship takes work. I'm not trying to sell you something that, oh, you can just 5 minutes a day, you can check off that evangelism box and feel good about yourself. It's still hard work, and it's not going to be easy. But the fact is, God commands us to do something. If you're not going to use these tools, what are you going to do? And what am I going to do is what I want to ask myself. And I'm challenging myself to practice what I preach and start adopting some more students. And I'm trying my best to do that. So I just want you to think about that. And there's something that I want to share about both of these tools that really touched my heart and is motivating me to work at that harder, to adopt more students and teach more people. And that's this. There's no shortage of students. No, not every one of them is going to continue on, but there's no shortage. There are times that they have to turn off the ads on the internet because there's too many people waiting. If somebody signed up now, they might be waiting too long. So they have to decrease how many people are coming in, how many people are signing up. And when I think about that, and I think about, okay, if I adopt 10 students, that's 10 more people that I've opened the way for them to sign up. And maybe all 10 of mine don't work out, but maybe because I took them off the board And because I allowed more people to come in, maybe somebody else, one of those extra people, is going to be that one that gets baptized. But if I don't do anything, if I leave them there, and we have to decrease it, and there's that person who would have seen the ad and clicked on it and signed up and been baptized, they're not going to see it anymore because we had to cut it off. That really pricked my heart, and I wanted to share that with you, that there's no shortage. The shortage is in Christians who are willing to put in some time and effort to teach the people who are lined up to hear the gospel. If you have any need this evening, if you, maybe evangelism is hard, maybe you need prayers for God's help to be able to do that. I know I need prayers for that every day. This is that time that we're gathered as a family. We're here. We can help each other. We can encourage each other. I hope that I've been able to encourage you. If I haven't, you can slap me or something later, but that's been my purpose. I want to encourage you. I want us all to be able to help each other. And I think that if you get into it, once you really start evangelizing and building those relationships, it's going to benefit your spiritual life as much as you benefit anybody else. Because when we follow what God tells us to do, when we're reaching out to people, He's going to bless us. And we're going to experience that peace and all of those spiritual blessings that were promised. Or if you have any other need in your life, now's the time as a family of God. Please come forward as we stand and sing.
My eyes are
seated. Harrison, thank you so much for such a great challenge. What a thought to think that one day we may be held accountable for people who are waiting online to hear the Word of God, and how easy an opportunity for us to share it with them in that way. If you didn't have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, you can do that in just a moment. We will be doing that together. Before we do that, is a way to set our minds and get our minds prepared for that. We'll sing, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed."
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sorrow I'm
1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then as so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your son Jesus and his sacrifice for us. The pain and the death that he did not deserve, that he took for our sake, Lord, that his body might be beaten and bled and tortured so that we might have a hope of heaven someday with you, Lord. We thank you for his sacrifice, for his willingness to go in our stead, and this time that we can remember that. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord, once again we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this fruit of the vine, Lord, that represents the blood of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, that we may again have a hope of heaven someday with you to atone for the sins and the sins that you knew we were going to make long before we ever existed, Lord. We thank you for his willingness to die in our stead so that we can have a hope of heaven, Lord. We pray that we might take this cup in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the offering. Dear Lord, we are so blessed as a people. We are so blessed as a nation, Lord. These funds that we gather here today, may the leadership here put them to use in a way that will glorify the kingdom and that will glorify you, Lord. Let us give with cheerful hearts and to sacrifice all we can, because we are so material blessed to show our thanks and also to continue to spread the gospel within the community as well as within the world, Lord. Pray these things may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again, Harrison. I think we've been given a good challenge tonight. And before we close in prayer, we'll sing "Take the Name of Jesus With You." I think we heard of a few ways that we can take the name of Jesus to a lot of people, whether we're doing it in person, online, whether we're doing it with our attitudes and our example. There's plenty of ways that we can take this song and let it be a challenge for the rest of our week. So let's all stand together. We'll sing the first verse of this, and then we'll be led in a closing prayer.
Take the name of Jesus with you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the first day of the week, that you have blessed us with the honor of worshiping you, Lord. We thank you so much for that, and we thank you also for the honor of being able to be called your children through the grace that you extended to us on the cross through Christ, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for that. We thank you for Harrison and his abilities and all those others that work with World Bible Institute and tools such as that, Lord, and for missionaries throughout the world. We pray that you be with those, help those missions grow, help those tools grow, Lord, so that your kingdom may grow. Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we depart here. Help us to honor your kingdom, honor the death that was given to us on the cross, Lord, in the ways that we live, that we could bring others to you. It's in Christ's name we pray, amen. I do not have any announcements. Does anyone have any? We're dismissed.